you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, Memorization Monday. Woohoo! It's a great day of the week to start with a new scripture verse. It's February 24th, 2020. Special guest joining me today. Special guest for various reasons, a good friend, a ministry partner, a co-laborer in the Lord. She's the director of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Her and her husband, Huey, have been supportive of this radio ministry. You've been on trips to Israel with us. You volunteered in various other capacities. Huey sits on our radio board. So the Freeman family is all in when it comes to Great News Radio. So thank you for that. And I know both you and Huey have a real heart for evangelism, for reaching the lost, for having the good news message of Jesus proclaimed to everyone so that the senior saint and those that are on their faith journey are growing to maybe the skeptic or the atheist or the agnostic person that's tuned in today, like, what's going on with this frequency? I've never heard this kind of chit-chat or teaching programs about God's love and such. So we'll cover some of that with today's verse. Being Memorization Monday, we'll be looking at a new verse that we all can share together this week and talk about and think about and memorize. And probably tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, when I figure out what special guests will be joining us, we'll talk a little about the Singing Men concert this past Friday night in Georgetown. What a great turnout. What a great event, raising funds for three area food banks. And it's always great to have the guys singing and declaring God's wonders. So tomorrow on Testimony Tuesday, we'll talk a little about that. And things continue to move forward with the merging of our four frequencies with the WLUJ family of stations. There are 15 frequencies, and it's really neat how God's pulling it all together. We had a fantastic board meeting last Thursday night where all the local board members gathered, along with two potential new board members. And then we had Joey Kroll and John Swinford. John Swinford's the station manager in Springfield. He came out to meet with the board, along with Joey Kroll, who many of you are familiar with because he works for us. Well, he also works for the family of stations out of Springfield. And so they got to share some of their excitement with this now merging and bringing us all together under one great big listening family. So we see God continuing to bring that together, and everything's been signed over, and we're working diligently to pull it all together so we have one unified voice proclaiming and lifting up the name of Jesus. And so exciting days ahead. Well, Kate, last week we did Romans 12:1. We had Robert Hemingway in here, and he's kind of like a co-pastory assist. He's farms and loves to teach and share. And Romans 12:1 that we studied and talked about last week is, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And he talked about, and we expressed how worship is just not when you go to church a few hours on a Sunday or when somebody's singing some songs or you're praising God. Worship can be a part of every aspect of life. And as one illustration, and we both kind of laughed, but even changing a diaper during the nursery time at church is a form of worship. If you're doing it unto God, if you're recognizing this child is created in God's image, and it can be simple things like that to actually dividing God's word. And there's a lot of elements to worshiping, and we want it to permeate all aspects of our life.
Amen.
Well, today's verse, and Kate, you were kind of pretty excited about this one. You said, oh, I'd love to talk about that. It's Romans 12:2, and I'll read that, and then Kate's going to read from our book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan, and then share why this is special to her. But today's verse and this week's verse is Romans 12:2. And it says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2. Well, Kate, again, thank you for joining us for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, and appreciate your heart for God's Word, your passion for seeing people growing and maturing, and you and Huey. I mean, Huey, I think about evangelism and reaching the lost, reaching those that have never come to terms with the fact that God loves them, that God has a plan and purpose for their lives, and that we don't want to conform to the patterns of this world. We want to be transformed, and that's what God wants to do in all of our lives, no matter where we're at.
Both Huey and I are very thankful that God allowed us to be transformed because we were both walking in the world before we were saved. And in our early 20s, we both got saved. So we know what it's like to live in the world, and we know what it's like, the transformation that occurred. Right. So I'm just really thankful. That's why I really love this scripture about renewing your mind. And so Robert J. Morgan has this passage, page 137 of the text, for those that are going along with the book, with Mark's challenge for all of us to learn the 100 Bible verses. And here is chapter 45. Dr. Martin Luther King once told of riding the bus across town every day to attend high school. In those days, blacks were required to sit at the back of buses while whites sat in the front. Even if there weren't any white people on the bus, blacks still could not sit in the front. If all the black seats were occupied, riders had to stand over the empty seats reserved for whites. I would end up having to go to the back of that bus with my body, said Dr. King. But every time I got on that bus, I left my mind up on the front seat. And I said to myself, one of these days, I'm going to put my body up there where my mind is. Dr. King was stating an essential, inviolable rule in life. Our bodies usually end up where our minds are. Our brains are a complex aspect of God's creation, and our minds are the fountainhead of our lives. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The most important things in life are the thoughts you choose to think." Ralph Waldo Emerson added, "A man is what he thinks about all day long."
You know, those two are really interesting, those two quotes, but I'm also thinking of where A.W. Tozer, I think it's in Knowledge of the Holy, where he said the greatest thoughts we can have, or the greatest indication of where a country or an individual will go, is his thoughts about God and how we think about God. If we think that he's like this taskmaster or he's to be feared, you know, we'll live our lives accordingly. But if we recognize that he loves us, he cares for us, he's compassionate, yes, he's holy, yes, he's righteous, yes, he's just, but to balance that with he's very merciful and he wants all of us to come to know him and he's a loving, caring father, it'll affect how we pray and how we think. And so I think that's so important. How about rereading that, starting at Dr. King was stating an essential, because I think God would want everyone to recognize this truth, because maybe they've never thought about how they think and the importance of thinking properly, because God values us. God's given us dignity. He's created us in his image. He's given us all unique abilities and talents and gifts, and so he wants us to thrive. So for somebody, maybe this is new information, I'd ask that you just start at Dr. King again.
Dr. King was stating an essential, inviolable rule in life. Our bodies usually end up where our minds are. Our brains are a complex aspect of God's creation, and our minds are the fountainhead of our lives. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The most important things in life are the thoughts you choose to think." And Ralph Waldo Emerson added, "A man is what he thinks about all day long." Every temptation comes to us via our thoughts, making the mind the battleground of the soul. When we come to Christ, a change begins in our minds and thinking. We, our personalities, and everything about us are transformed by the renewing of our thoughts. The Greek word for transformed is metamorpho, for which we get our word metamorphosis. We experience an inner metamorphosis as our minds are renewed by God's Spirit and His Word. The Phillips Version puts it like this: Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove and practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. And Robert Morgan offers a few Bible texts to reference that are also in line with these thoughts of transforming your mind. Psalm 26:2, test me, Lord, examine my heart and mind. Psalm 86:11, give me an undivided mind to fear your name. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace the mind that is dependent on you. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. Ephesians 4:23, you are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your mind.
And some of these verses are some of our memorization verses, so some of these might be familiar to you or already cherished or beloved. But yeah, they're all great ones to work with our mind, to cast our mindset on God, that he cares for us, so we got to be mindful of that.
And the last quote for this chapter is James Montgomery Boyce. It says, transformation happens by the renewing of our minds, and the way our minds become renewed is by the study of the life-giving and renewing Word of God.
Now, Kate, when we began this broadcast, you were talking about you're one of those people that God has transformed, that
yes.
There was a period in your life where you were living in the world seeking, I think you were actually heading towards California. You wanted to be, I don't know if you'd say a movie star, but you wanted to live the glamorous life or, you know, be involved in productions. And it's a lot of hard work, but you saw that as where you were being led. But you said in your 20s, both you and Huey, there was a turning point. God was working through individuals, I think even some Christian radio, through others that were witnessing to you. So talk a little about that transformation, mm-hmm. because it goes
yes.
so well with this verse.
Yes, for me, I was on my way to Oregon, and I had a hotel room by myself. My family and I were all moving to Oregon, and I was 20 years old. And I was in the hotel room, and I turned on the radio. And it was a man, Garner Ted Armstrong, and he used to put out a production called The Plain Truth. And I'm not sure about his theology completely, but what he was talking about that day was about how we see these stars, the planets aligned, and how the Earth is in perfect alignment to not burn up or freeze, that we have a renewal every spring. And all of this design is part of the mind of God. And that thought brought to my mind that there was a designer, that God was real. And then he went on to say that when you trust that God is real, then you need to take his word in its totality. That you can't think of his word as, well, I'll take this little piece, I like this part, but I don't really like this part. That you have to accept Adam and Eve, and you have to accept that Jesus came and died on the cross for you and rose again. And in that space of time, I knew that it was truth. And I knew that God was right there in the room with me. And I got down on my knees and I gave my heart to Jesus. And I was transformed in that moment. The next day, I got in the car with my mother. And I started telling her about how here we were in Salt Lake City and that there was evidence of the flood right here in Salt Lake City, because he had mentioned that on the radio also that night. And here he was in California, and he was talking about Salt Lake City and the big Salt Lake there. And my mother looked at me in such a way that I knew that I had been transformed.
She saw the difference right away.
She saw it right away, that this was not the old Kate.
Right.
This was a new Kate.
And did you have much religious background or training? Did you attend church?
My mother was an Episcopalian.
Okay.
And she was brought up Baptist, but she became Episcopalian when we were in the Navy because she thought that would be the same everywhere we went and that we wouldn't be confused, because Baptist churches tend to be very different everywhere you go. And so she had a foundation, and we prayed every night, but my walk with the Lord was so out there, and there were a lot of aspects about the Lord returning and things that we would conflict with later, but that renewal changed my life because I suddenly was not looking for love in all the wrong places. I was seeking the Lord, and there was, of course, a chain of events where God got me into a body of believers, and then I started serving the Lord in different ways with Huey.
But that unique aspect of that preacher teaching, God's great design, it became very personal, and you were like, there is really a God behind all this, and he can be known. And so as you knelt down, was Jesus a strong influence at that point, or were you still learning? Like, did you recognize yourself as beloved of God, but that his son Jesus took away that barrier, that sin? Or was that a progression?
There was more of a progression, because not but a day or two later, I was looking for a job in downtown Eugene, Oregon, and a evangelist from Shiloh came up to me and asked me if I knew the Lord. And I said, well, I'm beginning to. So he knelt and had me pray right there with him. He said, this is like a public declaration. You did a private declaration. Now I want you to do a public declaration with me. And then I'll, you know, show you a body of believers that can help you grow. And so that was really good to get started in a fellowship.
And isn't it neat how God set that up, like those divine appointments where here you're quite possibly a brand new believer, you know, searching, seeking, and don't you know he put somebody in your path, and then that gets you involved in the church body.
Exactly. And one thing I wanted to say about this scripture is that it is a scripture of action, because it says, do not to be conformed in this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that means that we have to do something to continue that transformation. Because we start, it is a supernatural transformation that we had nothing really to do with except receive. But now, God says that we can do something. And I believe that it's not just reading the Word of God, although that is a main part of it, because it's consistent. And it brings us back. We don't even know who God is until we read again. It's like a daily renewal. And then it's prayer, because God can renew us through prayer. Sometimes we can't pray, we can't read, but if we just seek his face and just look to him. So if you're feeling lonely today, or you're feeling that God is far away, if you just sit in his presence, he will renew your mind. He will give you that hope, that little piece of scripture that maybe then you'll look up in your Bible to give you that hope and renew you for today.
And I like how it begins, do not, you know, do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, because that's our tendency. That's our practice. We're bombarded by the influence of the world. I mean, we're almost trapped in it. And it's so, how do we not continue?
And we want to return to what's familiar.
Right, right.
Right? So if you're a new believer, you always want to go back to the old friends you had. You know that you know them. You know how you interact with them. But God will sometimes take you away from the influences that are not going to be good for you. And so you will be walking in a newness of life. You can't go back to the old way. But if you do, you'll find that you will receive much more in this life and in the life to come, if you will continue on the track with God.
Yeah, I was thinking where Peter, you know, what did he do? He started going back to fishing, and then Jesus shows up. No, Peter, I want you to be a fisher of men. And, you know, Peter went back to what he was used to doing, fishing and kind of the old patterns, the old habits. But, you know, God wants to grow us. He wants to transform us. He wants us to grow and flourish for him. And that's that part about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you mentioned prayer, reading God's word, even the conversations we have with other believers. That's why God likes us to assemble with other like-minded believers, so we can grow, so we can help refine each other, you know, bring healthy conviction. I call it God-honoring conviction, conviction that brings us to look towards God because we find ourselves inadequate or inept or in need. Conviction of the devil or the evil one will generally cause us to turn away from God and run away. And so healthy, God-honoring conviction will always, you know, bring to light some sin or bad habit or pattern, but it'll always also be filled with grace and the awareness that God loves us, that he's, you know, gently wanting to change us so it'll bring us towards
Him. He's faithful and just to forgive us mm-hmm. of our sins. So He will always forgive you. And all you have to do is just come to Him. And that forgiveness is there. Mm-hmm. I love the practicing of presence of God.
Mm-hmm. Is that Tozer?
No, it was a monk. I'm trying to think of his name. Brother Lawrence. He spoke about when you come back to Jesus, there's not even this need to say, I'm so sorry. Because as soon as you get into His presence, He forgives you. Mm-hmm. As soon as you get there, all you have to do is continue to worship Him. And that's part of that renewal, is that worshiping Him. Because that takes, right there, you have aligned yourself with God and you're saying, I'm obedient. I'm being obedient to the Word of God. As soon as you have that act of worship that's mentioned in the first verse of Romans 12 that we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Is that renewal and that transformation is immediate as soon as you get in the presence of God.
Hey, Kate, how about closing out our program with a prayer for those that no longer want to conform to the world, but to help them to test and prove what God's will is, because it is a good will. It's a pleasing will. It's a perfect will. And so help those that are maybe struggling or confused, you know, pray over them and pray for us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ to be in the center of His good and pleasing and perfect will.
Heavenly Father, I reach out to everyone listening today. If you're in a place where you're just not sure, you just don't know where you're going, you don't know what God has for you, maybe you've been a believer a long time and you're still struggling with knowing Him and the power of His resurrection, well, He's here to love on you. That's what He came down to earth to do. He came to heal, He came to bind up the wounds, the brokenhearted, and He helps those who reach out to Him. And that's all you need to do is reach out, look up, and trust that He is going to follow. He's going to help you, and you can follow Him. Lord, I pray, Father, for complete renewal for the people's minds that have felt lost, have felt alone, who have felt that God isn't listening. Maybe they've been praying for one thing, and it just hasn't happened yet. I pray, Father, that You will bring about that change that they need, so that they can see Your miraculous power and they can be renewed in their joy of the Lord, dear God. In Jesus' holy name, amen.